From the Len de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the first day of October 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll hear from a few of the state statisticians, those who managed to give me audio yesterday before their offices were closed by the government last night. And we'll take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather. Don Day of Day Weather will be here to do that. We'll also hear from Harry Cooney at Growmark. He'll help us take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural energies, and it all happens during this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Well, at the CME Group in Chicago, futures finished like this for a Tuesday afternoon December contract in the corn at $4.39, a settlement price down 2.5 cents. The March at 4.51¾, 2¾ lower. And May corn at 4.59¾, 2.5 cents lower. July contract 4.66½, down 2.5. And December of next year, $4.80, down 1. November soybeans at $12.68, 14¾ lower. January at $12.70, down 15. The March at $12.53, 14 cents lower. And the May soybeans at $12.33¾, down 14¾. July, $12¾ lower, $12.29. November beans of next year, $11.49½, down 5½ cents. Bean meal futures finished at $4.08.50 in the lead option, down $1.40 in the bean oil at $40.00, down 82 cents. The hard red winter wheat traded the July contract to $7.20 on the settlement price, up 3/4. The soft red July futures at $6.75¾ were down 1¼. The nearby December there at $6.81¼, down rather up 2¾. Live cattle futures finished the August contract at $127.25. That's down 60 cents for the day. December at $131.90, 7½ cents lower. October feeders at $164.40, up 30 cents. And November futures at $166.05, 85 cents higher for the day. Lean hogs finished $90.92½, down $1.05. And December futures for 100 pounds, $85.90. And the lean hogs finished 72½ cents lower. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It comes to you from the College of Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Find us online at willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby November crude oil at $101.94 a barrel, down 39 cents. The wholesale price of gasoline, $2.61, that's down $0.07. Ethanol futures at $1.91 are 4 cents lower. Natural gas at $3.61¼, that's a nickel and 0.1 cents higher. And the diesel fuel at $2.95¼, down $0.08. Gold futures at $1,285.90 at the end of the day, finished $40.90 lower. And the U.S. dollar at 80.14 is down 0.07 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. Yes, it's still open for the day. It says that mostly sunny skies will be around in the Urbana-Champaign area with a high of 83 degrees and a southwest wind at 13 miles an hour, gust all the way to 18. Tonight, partly cloudy and a low of 63 on a south-southwest wind at about 8 miles an hour. And then tomorrow, a 30% chance of rainfall in the evening. And during the day on Thursday, we'll see showers as well, possibly a thunderstorm before 1 o'clock, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 p.m., mostly cloudy, a high near 80, then a 60% chance of rainfall on Thursday. By the way, Wednesday night, a 50% chance of rainfall. Thursday evening, a 30% chance of showers, and then on Friday, partly sunny skies and 83. Friday night, the showers and thunderstorms may return, mostly cloudy and 64. Saturday, showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and 72. The rainfall will stick around through Saturday night when we'll have mostly cloudy skies and a low of 46 degrees. And on Sunday, a return to sunny skies, but a high of just 63 degrees. Sunday night, clear and 44. To start the work week, sunny skies and a high near 68. More on the weather forecast when we talk with Don Day. He'll come up at the bottom of the half hour. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the first day of October 2013. On the phone line with us now to take a look at the futures markets is Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's start with the impact of the closure of the United States government starting at midnight last night. What do you suppose it will mean to the commodity markets?
Well, it means no reports for a while, and we don't know about the October report on when it's going to come out. So a little bit of uncertainty as far as that goes, and puts a lot more emphasis back on the real fundamentals of what the yields are going to be coming out of the fields over the next week. And, of course, that rain that you kept talking about is going to slow things down a little bit here, but I think all in all we're going to, you know, continue to make some pretty good progress here over the next few weeks.
We'll make good progress. Will prices continue to drift lower, or can they find some support someplace?
Well, that's the big question, Todd. I think that we will start to see some support down in here. You know, we did break through and close the November beans, the 1270 had been pretty good support up until now. We did close below it. We didn't close on the lows. We closed a nickel off the lows at 1268. So somewhere in here, where we might start to see that 50% retracement was broken, but the 66% retracement probably isn't too far away, and we probably will see a little support in that 1250 to 1255 range in that as far as the beans go. The corn, I think that if yields continue like we've been seeing them, we're probably going to test 425 sometime here, but it might not be sooner than later because we're not seeing much corn come out of farmers' hands. It seems to be only what's been sold being delivered, and the rest of it seems to be going in bins at home. So that's why we're not seeing quite as much pressure on the corn. No farmer sales.
They looked at the price and said, yeah, we'll wait it out. I suppose sometimes that's a good thing, and sometimes it's a bad thing. At the moment, the numbers are telling them to store, I guess.
Well, as you look at it, the corn, you know, we're 439 on the D, so we look out to the July, we're 466. So there is a carry there, and it does pay you to store there. As we look at the November beans, they're at, 1268. As we look out to the July, they're at 1229. That doesn't pay well.
No, not for beans, it doesn't. Hey, I have another question for you. Is the market feeling a little oversold at this time to you?
It's beginning to feel a little bit, but it's awfully hard to get too excited about buying it when we're just starting in and things seem to be going better than expected as far as the yields are going in the fields this early in harvest. It generally we don't see the bottom till at least 50% through harvest, and I think we were saying 11% and 12% this week, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not quite enough to be pushing through to the time to get excited about getting long yet.
Yeah, can we push through to the 50% level over a couple of weeks by the time we get to the October 11th report from USDA?
Released? If it doesn't rain too much, we could be a lot closer to that number than you think. These big combines, wow. I mean, we started in, it just seemed like bean harvest started over here, and I don't see many bean fields left.
And tell me about the yields in the area, because you said they're good. Did they remain good is the question.
Yes. We were looking at what would have been unbelievable-type yields had we got the August rains. We're still doing very, very good over here. I'd say that they range probably from the mid-50s to mid-60s, of course, having some fields above there and a very few below there, though, to be very honest. So, well over a 55-bushel average over in our area that right now.
As you look at the numbers across the month of October, as they may come in since we're on the first day, this is a crop insurance harvest price setting month at the moment. I guess there looks like there could be a payout.
Well, there again, there could be, but let's also remember that along with that goes the yield, and it's dollars per acre that they insured. You know, depending on where your APH is and what level you insured at, if you're getting 200 and some bushel of the acre, it maybe doesn't come quite as fast as some thought it would.
That would be true. Anything on the livestock side?
Todd, thank goodness the government decided to keep the meat inspectors there and going like that. So we're glad to see that they use a little common sense there.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
And that's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Well, hey, have you visited our website lately? If not, there's a couple of good reasons to do it. If you happen to miss one of our broadcasts, you can always hear them again in their entirety on the website, willag.org. You can look that one up on your smartphone. If you don't like the way it looks, try this one. It's m.willag.org. Same stuff, just two different sites. Use it on your smartphone if you'd like, and if you prefer, you can just give us a call and listen to voicemail. It's 217-333-3434. We try to bring you all of our programming as easily and quickly as possible. We broadcast it, and then within about 20 minutes, everything's up at willag.org. Yesterday afternoon, before the government decided to shut down, it did release the latest crop progress report. It shows that as of Sunday, the corn across the nation was dented at the rate of 96%. Normally, the five-year rolling average is 97%. 63% of that crop has matured. Normally, that's 70%, and 12% of it has been harvested. The rolling five-year average is 23%. And the corn crop this week is in a bit better condition than it was last week. The good to excellent categories remain the same when combined, but the ratio changed. Last week it was 42% good, 13% excellent. This week it's 41% good and 14% excellent. 67% of the soybeans around the nation are dropping leaves. 74% is the rolling five-year average. 11% of the crop has been harvested. Normally, that's about 20%. And the condition of the crop is getting better again this week. It's 43% in the good category and 10% excellent. Last week, those numbers were 41 and 9%. Now, here are a couple of the state statisticians with their updates.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois, with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. I am reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending Sunday, September 29th. Last week was a good week for harvest in Illinois. Temperatures averaged more than 3 degrees above normal, and precipitation was almost 1/2 inch below normal. Topsoil moisture was rated as 21% very short, 49% short, and 30% adequate. Subsoil moisture was rated 24% very short, 45% short, and 31% adequate. There were 6.4 days suitable for field work last week. Corn that is mature reached 71% of acres compared to 98% last year and 73% for the five-year average. Corn harvest advanced 8 points to 13% complete. That is well below last year's progress of 69% complete and the five-year average of 34%. 10% of corn acres were rated as very poor or poor, 28% were rated fair, and 62% were rated in good or excellent condition. Soybeans that are turning yellow reached 88% of acres, compared to 97% 1 year ago and 89% normally. 66% of acres were dropping leaves, compared to 69% normally, and 10% of acres have been harvested. This compares to 20% harvested 1 year ago and 15% for the five-year average. The condition of the crop was rated as 11% of acres in very poor or poor condition, 33% in fair condition, and 56% in good to excellent condition. Winter wheat planting advanced to 6% complete compared to 8% 1 year ago and 8% normally. 2% of the crop has emerged. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Kiff Hurlbut with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending September 29, 2013. Mild weather and little rain allowed more farmers to begin harvesting corn and soybeans across the state. 95% of the corn acreage is in the dense stage compared to 100% last year and 95% for the five-year average. 66% of the corn acreage is mature compared with 90% last year and 68% for the five-year average. 13% of the corn crop has been harvested compared with 34% last year and 22% for the five-year average. By area, 72% of the corn crop is mature in the north, 63% in the central region, and 61% in the south. Corn condition is rated 65% good to excellent compared with 11% last year at this time. Moisture content of harvested corn is averaging about 23%. Harvest of soybeans jumped slightly ahead of corn last week, with the corn harvest running about 1 week behind the five-year average, as some farmers are giving corn more time to dry down. 80% of the soybean acreage is shedding leaves compared to 87% last year and 79% for the five-year average. 16% of the soybean acreage has been harvested compared to 17% last year and 19% for the five-year average. By area, 86% of the soybean acreage is shedding leaves in the north, 84% in the central region, and 65% in the south. Soybean condition is now rated 60% good to excellent compared with 29% last year. Moisture content of harvested soybeans is averaging about 13%. Winter wheat planting has also started in some parts of the state, and fall tillage and chemical applications are underway in fields that are open. 7% of winter wheat acreage has been planted compared to 7% last year and 8% for the five-year average. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report. This is Kiff Robert reporting.
Our thanks to the state statisticians from Illinois and Indiana for their updates this week. We'll have them back along with Iowa and Minnesota probably next week. Well, if the government manages to open back up by then.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
We're joined by farm management specialist from the U of I, Gary Schnittke, to take up the 2013 and 14 projected operator and farmland returns. The numbers aren't really as nice as they have been in the past several years, Gary.
No, that's true. What we're doing is projecting operator and farmland returns for 2013 and 2014, and that would be a return to both the farmer and landowner. For northern Illinois, we're coming out with that number for both 2013 and 2014 to be right at $300 an acre, and that's down, about $190 from the last 3 years, or the average for the last 3 years. So it is down considerably from a couple of years earlier.
And there is a difference from one end of the state to the other when you get to 2014 and even in this year, as to how profitable the farms are or whether they'll make a profit at all.
Yeah, it varies across the state. What we found is that northern Illinois, the projected return for 2013 are about $300 an acre. Central Illinois, high farm productivity farmlands, which would be what you would expect to be 195 bushel corn yield. Now this year we're projecting at 185. Would be $300 as well. Low productivity Central Illinois is $248, and then Southern Illinois farms $206 per acre. So it, but those Southern Illinois farms typically do have lower returns as well as Central Illinois low productivity. So it's down all across the state from last year.
So when you start to think about this and put it in context, what does it mean for farmland, cash rents, non-farmland costs, those sorts of things?
Yeah, so what the major factor, just going back, that's causing this is 450 corn versus, you know, higher $5 and $6 corn. What that means for farmers is that they're going to have less income, and that machinery purchases will likely have to be slowed down or reduced in amount. And cash rents, particularly at the high end, may have to come down as a result of these lower return projections.
But that hasn't happened since the mid-1980s.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting dynamic to see how that happens. I would be not expecting much reduction overall this year, but we continue to have these lower returns, and there's good reasons to expect these to continue. We will have to see some reductions in cash rents in the future.
Good reasons to expect this to continue, and something in the more New plateau area of what, 460 and 1060 for corn and beans?
That's if you look at our projections right now, they're at those levels for both 2013 and 2014. If you look at futures contracts going out, that's where prices are at. And to get higher prices, we'll either need much lower yields someplace in the country, or supply problems, or an increase in demand, which it's difficult to anticipate that at this point in time.
Gary Schnittke, a farm management specialist at the University of Illinois. You can find more from him on the Farm Doc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report for Tuesday afternoon. Let's check the agricultural energy markets. Harry Cooney is on the phone line from GrowMark in Bloomington. Good afternoon to you, Harry.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, tell me about the energy markets as you see them at the moment.
Well, we've had a very interesting sell-off here in the energies. Of course, the government shutdown has been in the limelight, but we actually topped out the crude oil market, for example, in late August, early September, up around $110 to $111 a barrel. And today we traded down all the way to about $102 or so. So this latest news about the government shutdown has people, traders, a little concerned about the idea that you're taking $1 billion a week out of paychecks and the potential impact it could have on the economy. And thus, if there's problems in the economy, it could curtail fuel demand. Now, to do that, though, it would have to be an extended shutdown, that's for sure.
And then when you put that into context with the available gasoline supplies and the price of gasoline, does it tell you anything more about the marketplace?
Well, the gasoline price has been coming down. In fact, we continue to hear talk about the potential for $3 gas and just under $3. The best chance for something like that to occur is coming up later in the fall, I should say. Usually around Thanksgiving to Christmas is the best chance for the weakest gas prices of the year. So that's sure the potential to see the weakest gas prices at that time. Now, if we do get down to those levels, that may actually help stimulate some travel from people that maybe had curtailed it when prices are more up around $4. So thus, the marketplace is doing its job.
And for diesel fuel?
Well, diesel fuel has come off a little bit here lately, not as much as the gasoline market, but it's come off a little bit also. We'll be watching that market real close later in the fall as gasoline tends to weaken in the late year. Diesel fuel does also, and we'll look for those opportunities to begin contracting programs to end users for the coming calendar year of 2014.
Harry, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark. He's in Bloomington, Illinois, joins us on a Tuesday afternoon to talk about the agricultural energy markets. In just a couple minutes, I'll return. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming, about the weather forecast.
It's National Mulled Cider Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1861, William Wrigley Jr. was born. An American salesman and manufacturer, he started out as a traveling salesman at the age of 13, selling soap for his father's company. At age 30, he left his father's soap factory and moved to Chicago, where he began manufacturing soap and including free baking powder as an incentive. When baking powder proved more popular than soap, he switched to offering baking powder with chewing gum as an incentive. And then you guessed it, the chewing gum proved widely popular, and Wrigley's Chewing Gum was born. In 1958, pie plates being sailed around among employees at the Frisbee Baking Company at Yale University became the inspiration for the Wham-O Standby. In 1962, the United Farm Workers Union was founded by Cesar Chavez. And in 2004, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger signed into law a bill that bans the production and sale of foie gras. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business. So Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day from Day Weather is with us. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Well, let's start with the impact of the government on you and the weather and the way you collect it. What's happened? Anything?
Well, a lot of our computer models are still coming in as per normal, but there are also some other data feeds that are not. The sites that they consider to be important for survival of life and no damage to property is working, but some stuff is not.
Okay, let's take a look then at what you've been able to collect and what the models are saying about the harvest and how it would proceed across the Midwest over the next week or so.
Well, we're going to have some challenges, no doubt about it. We're going to see a system roar out of the Gulf of Alaska into the Pacific Northwest today and tonight, then slam into the Rockies as we get into Thursday and Friday. And this system, out ahead of it, is going to produce some rain and some showers and thunderstorms Thursday and Friday over Minnesota, Nebraska, Iowa, and eastern areas of the Dakotas. And there'll be some shower and thunderstorm activity over the central and western Corn Belt as well. It will, believe it or not, be cold enough that South Dakota, North Dakota, portions of the Arrowhead of Minnesota, as well as portions of the Rocky Mountain West, will see some snow before the week's over. And we're going to see temperatures dropping into the low to mid-30s as early as Saturday night and Sunday morning in some areas that I just mentioned.
Oh, wow, that's cold. How soon will that make its way into the western part of the Midwest?
Well, the west part of the Midwest will definitely wake up Sunday morning, and you'll walk outside and say, wow, it's feeling like fall. I see some 30s. Now, I don't know if we're looking at a hard freeze yet, but when I look behind this system, I see another shot of colder air coming in out of south-central Canada and moving into the exact same areas, the northern plains states, western Corn Belt, towards the middle to the end of next week. That one certainly has the potential, at least as it looks as far out now, to bring freezing temperatures in some areas.
Cold temperatures are one thing. Rainfall is an entirely different thing in the Midwest during the harvest season. It tends to slow the progress down pretty quickly, especially if there's enough of it. What do you see?
Well, I certainly see that as a possibility in Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska, eastern areas of the Dakotas, and maybe as far south as portions of northern Missouri. I think the central and eastern Corn Belt, while there will be precipitation, will not be as heavy, at least not heavy enough to cause, I think, any major delays. But those northern and western areas are definitely going to be having some big impacts.
Planting progress should be picking up in South America, where they'll be sowing the soybean and corn crop for the coming year.
Well, it's going to be a little dry down there, although we are going to see some areas of Brazil and central and northwest Argentina getting some rain. Overall, the trend right now has been a little bit on the dry side, and right now the forecast is for generally dry conditions, any precipitation, not enough to really get things too moist down there.
Don, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great day.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.